As Blake said, we were with a group of folks from the congregation with 1,500, a little over 1,500 of our closest friends in Atlanta last week. And Atlanta has this kind of brand moniker of Hotlanta, and it was anything but hot last week. I've been freezing for like since Christmas, and Atlanta did not live up to its billing, for me at least. Before we left, a couple of weeks before the national gathering, as our kids go to Mountaintop, and Greg Collins is waiting at the back for them, we wish them well and pray that they learn more about Jesus this morning as they go. But Blake said, hey, would you like to preach the Sunday after national gathering? I said, sure, love to. And he said, it's about compassion. The original title in your bulletin was compassion. But he said, I want you to see if you can tie it to the national gathering theme, which is called. So we spared no expense, marketing fees, forget it, and we're calling it Call to Compassion. So you're welcome for that creative bit of branding there. But as the gathering started, Sarah Gray and I were helping with registration, and there was this tsunami of people coming at us. And I remember going, I got to preach on Sunday. I really hope the speakers make that connection to called and compassion really, really clear. If not, I'm in trouble. And the speakers did, but in a testament to this church and the fact that I think you really do get what it means to be called, the conference attendees helped immensely with that. Petey Crowder and Tim Norton talked about their time here being formative. I had a pastor in the TSA line as I'm waiting for them to screen my luggage who said, I'm so grateful for your church. My daughter was in Winston-Salem for 2 years after college, and she attended your church, and it helped her stay in her walk with Christ. And Marnie Crumpler come up to me and say, I'm so grateful for your church because I'm on the Christian Studies Center at Wake board, and I know Griff Gatewood and his family are nurtured there. You understand what it means to be called to live as Jesus followers and to engage the world as such. And as we turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning, where Jesus feeds in excess of 5,000 people, we see the great compassion of a loving God. And in that episode, we also see what it means to be called as a follower of Jesus. Would you join me as we pray before we turn to Mark 6? Father, we're grateful that you call each of us. We're grateful that this church has been faithful throughout its history to see its call to this community and this world. And we celebrate this morning one of our ministry partners in Young Life who brings the hope and the light and the grace of Jesus to the young people of our community. May you bless the work that they do, and may we be continued faithful in our call to support them and in our call to do our part as followers of Jesus in our community. May your word take deep root in us. And may the power of your Holy Spirit speak through me, and may that be the loudest voice in this room in the next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus has sent the disciples out two by two to test what it means to be called by him. They've come back, and Jesus does what good leaders do. He's debriefing with them. He's, how did it go? Tell me about it. And they're sharing that, but the crowds were becoming enormous that wanted to hear Jesus teach and coming to be healed, to see demons driven out. And Jesus sensed that the disciples needed some time away, a day apart, like the retreat that's coming up for folks in this congregation. And that's where we pick up in Mark 6 at the 30th verse. Mark writes these words: "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'That would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them?' 'How many loaves do you have?' he asked. 'Go and see.' When they found out, they said, 'Five and two fish.' Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've heard this story many times. We teach it to even our youngest children. Jesus feeds a lot of people. It's great that we know the story so well, but it's also dangerous sometimes because we sometimes take for granted what is really embedded in it. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to put yourself in the place of a disciple, one of the 12. They've just come off what had to be an emotional exercise, being sent out in pairs to minister in Jesus' name, to teach and to heal. They've come back and they're in their debrief. They're sharing the triumphs. They're sharing the challenges, and they're being overwhelmed by the people coming to Jesus. And Jesus senses that and says, "Come on, we're gonna take a step back. We're gonna go away to a private place." But that doesn't work out very well because the people start to run ahead of them, to wait on them. When they finally make land on the shore of that lake, and when Jesus finally makes land, there's already a huge crowd of people wanting to hear him teach and to be healed. So that's what he does. He teaches them many things, we're told. The day begins to get late, and the disciples, in what I call one of the Captain Obvious moments of Scripture, right? They go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, it's getting dark." Can you imagine going to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, it's getting dark"? To prove that I'm not Jesus, my response would be, "You know, I'm the one that taught the sun to come up and go down. I'm aware. But Jesus said, "Yeah, it is." They said, "These people are going to need something to eat. Why don't we send them away so that they can go find something to buy, to eat?" There's just one problem with that. We're told it's in a remote place, right? So villages and towns were spread out. It would have taken that crowd a long time to go. And once the sun went down, the villages shut down. People went to be with their families, sun up to sundown. That's when you could buy food. And even those small villages who were probably much, much smaller population-wise than the 5,000 men. Now, let's make one thing that adds a little awe here. In that day and in that time, and I'm not saying this is right, in fact, it was wrong, only men were counted. Women and children didn't count, so they didn't count them. There were exponentially more than 5,000 people who were fed by this miracle and who were in danger of being caught without anything to eat. They were not in a place where they could just kind of go to Chick-fil-A and have it be their pleasure to sell them a chicken sandwich. And the disciples said, that would take half a year's wages. You want us to go spend that much money on bread? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? Go and see. So the disciples come back with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay, now you're in the position of the disciples. It wouldn't be that much different, I don't think, today. We would say, Jesus, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and thousands of people. We don't have the resources or the capacity to do what you've just asked us to do, which is the thing that these people desperately need. The people who you've just said were sheep without a shepherd. And if you know anything about sheep without a shepherd, they're toast. And Jesus said, 5 loaves, 2 fish, we got this. He said, get them in groups. And then he took the loaves and he broke them and he took the fish and he divided it up and he turned to heaven and he asked God to bless it. And then he handed out the broken loaves and the broken fishes to the 12 and he said, now go feed them. I suspect there were a lot of side-eye glances among the 12, right? It's like, here we go again. And they fed the people. They fed them until they were satisfied. And then they come back with 12 baskets full of bread and fish. Our beagle Daisy would be in heaven. She lives for the doggy bag. We don't have the resources. We don't have the capacity. This is beyond our ability. We can't do that. They knew they were called, but they forgot one key thing. They forgot who they were called by. Because you see, the key to being called as a follower of Jesus is to know that in becoming his beloved child, he has promised us proximity to the God of all creation who still does miracles. The God who can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands is the same God who, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is in and working through you. And the disciples, because they were as human as we are, forgot the proximity they had to God and forgot the power of an awesome miracle-working God. We live in a culture that says, if it's to be, it's up to you. If it's to be, it's up to you. Get better, get faster, and get it done. Get better, get faster, get it done, and figure it out for yourself, right? That's the message we hear time and time again. Yet as a follower of Jesus, when we're called, here's good news, and somebody in here might need to hear this morning. When we're called as Jesus' followers and we're called to be his and we're called to be his in the moments of life, it's not up to us. Jesus doesn't say, you got to figure it out. You got to have the capacity and the resources to do it. He said, you got to show up. Because when you show up with God's Holy Spirit working through you, and you show up with access to the power of a miracle-working God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm confronted every day with issues, and I go, I don't have the resources, I don't have the capacity. This is going to be somebody else's issue. And where that really becomes a sinful way to live is when you're sitting maybe across from a student and they're struggling because they're worried they're not going to get that acceptance letter from the school that they have their heart set on. It might be that you're sitting across from that student who knows that their family's crumbling around them. It might be that you're having coffee with somebody whose marriage is coming apart, and you know you don't have the words. You don't have the answers. So you go, you know what? I something's come up. I can't meet you. The reality is, yeah, you can meet them, because you don't have to go in with the right words. You have to go in going, God, I'm going with you here. And I have no idea what to say. But I know that the power of the living God can work through me. Speak your word through me. The good news for followers of Jesus is you are indeed called. You're called, as Blake preached on a few weeks ago, to live out that call right where you find yourself. You don't have to go in knowing you've got the words down pat. You don't have to go in with everything worked out. You have to go in knowing, I go with the awe-inspiring, miracle-working God. Who does have the words. And that presence is as awe-inspiring as those disciples must have felt looking at 12 full baskets. Despite the fact that they knew that was beyond anything they had the ability to pull off. But they had the proximity. And they had the power because they knew the God of all creation in Jesus Christ. That's your call. That's your call. Each of our calls is to be faithful, to show up in our homes, where we work, and where we play. For our students tomorrow, if by God's grace school goes, you will walk into that school with the Holy Spirit working through you. And because the Holy Spirit is with you, the power of the living God, the awesome miracle working God is with you. Don't be afraid. Show up. You might be sitting in your medical clinic tomorrow and open up test results and go, I don't know that I want to. I don't want to be the one that says this. I don't have the words. The Holy Spirit's there with you. And you can speak compassion and grace in a medical clinic, in a courtroom, in a bank, around your breakfast table. Here are freeing words. It's not that you got to bring it all. You got to bring yourself. And in bringing yourself, you bring the power of the living God. Thanks be to God. We stand on the shoulders of saints who have shown up. From decades ago, when Julian Lake, who was the senior pastor of this church, said, Young Life needs to be in this community. Julian didn't have all the resources. He didn't have all the capacity. But God sure did. And their lives that are forever transformed for all of eternity because of that. Show up. Show up, because when you do, you bring the awe-inspiring, miraculous power of a God in each and every place that needs his grace and his compassion. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful that you call us not to have it all worked out, not to bring, thank you, Lord, our own abilities and our own capacities, but the capacity of a powerful, grace-filled, awe-inspiring, miracle-working God. My prayer for these brothers and sisters is that they show up at home, at work, and at play, and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring your power, so that they might be instruments of your grace and your compassion with their words and their actions wherever they find themselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.